With the news that Taylor Heinicke is starting over Desmond Ridder, the line just moved 3.5 points in Atlanta's favour. So that's where Desmond Ridder is at the moment. 3.5 points worse than Taylor Heinicke.
Yeah,
Falcons now 1 point favourites.
Bottom in most passing categories this year, Desmond Ridder.
Someone get me Lawrence Jackson on the phone. What the,
you'll see him tomorrow.
Good.
Lawrence will come defend himself tomorrow.
Sure.
Yes, he will be here. So
I can't wait.
Join us tomorrow at 12 p.m., of course, on Peacock.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. That's right, it's Wednesday. Lawrence is with us as well, of course, as Jay and Matthew back in the house. I am Connor Rogers. I want you to be able to be here to defend yourself.
For sure.
Not far away. I feel like that's fair.
Listen,
friend to friend.
I mean, just be clear. Desmond Ridder, according to the markets, according to our friends at DraftKings,
right,
is literally 7 points, because it's 3.5 to 3.5, right?
No. Move 3.5.
Move him.
3.5.
Should have been. That'd be like Tim Boyle.
Still.
3.5.
Still. Desmond Ridder is 3.5 points worse than Taylor Heinicke.
Right. So
this is your guy. This is your Desmond Ridder. You love Desmond Ridder.
I want you here.
It's like for you, it's Lamar Jackson, Desmond Ridder, Desmond Ridder, Lamar Jackson. Hard for you to decide who you think is the best quarterback in the NFL.
I talk about Lamar Jackson and Desmond Ridder in completely different breaths. However, you know, you guys try to just pin this young man on me. I think he's a nice young man.
You've been defending him. You've loved him for a long time.
When we're comparing him to other guys, people watching and listening, you will never find me saying anything, saying Desmond Ridder, he going to do this and do that. I just say, hey, give that.
Go find the tape.
Yeah, find all the tape.
Alternate producer Adam, that's your job after the show, is to go find tape of Lawrence Jackson talking of Desmond Ridder, because there is tape that exists of that.
Desmond Ritter's bench, the market, you know, the market's the market. But, you know, hey, congrats to Taylor Heinicke. You're the starting quarterback for the Falcons again.
I said for the second
the way
time
as well.
I'm going to say two things here very quickly.
Sure.
Number one is that I don't think Lawrence addressed the issue at all. Well, all you said was, you know, that Desmond Ridder was a nice guy. And
what's the issue?
And then you said, you know, you're wishing Taylor Heinicke luck. The second thing is that I don't know when it's going to be, but when Lawrence runs for office, I'm voting for you. I don't care what office it is, because that was the most political answer I've ever seen. You just spent 30 seconds talking about nothing. You didn't answer the question at all.
What's the question?
But the question is, defend yourself for your Desmond Ridder. Your beloved Falcons are now 3.5 points favored. That's the swing in the line. The markets consider the Falcons 3.5 points better with Taylor Heinicke under center than Desmond Ridder.
How do you know the line didn't move because they know how many touches or lack of touches Bijan Robinson going to get? That could be.
I love how you keep inflicting Atlanta Falcons fandom on Lawrence when he said that after 28-3 he slept like a baby.
Was snoring and drooling. If the Falcons was 10-4 right now, I'd be like, this is great, man. I would even wear a Desmond Ridder jersey on here. I'd get one of my bootleg ones. show some appreciation. But, you know, Desmond, hey, I wanted him to draft Anthony Richardson. That's what there is evidence of me saying. There is evidence of me saying, hey, go get Lamar, draft Anthony Richardson. We'll have another chance with Jaden Daniels, but Desmond Ridder, man, hey, I hope for the best, man. You know, that's all I can say. How can I defend the man? When he threw that pick against Carolina, I said he could win an award for that interception. It was.
What would the award be?
That particular interception was so bad that no one even think about the fumble that Bijan Robinson had that led to Carolina points. That's like, I could see it. I could just picture it. Drake London was there, wide open, say, hey, it's me. I'm your best wide receiver right here. Then there was Kyle Pitts. We like him too, but he was covered by two people. My man Ridder said, nah. Pick. I'm like, damn.
Look, well, part of the reason I'm torturing you, Lawrence, about this, other than just it's fun, is that I had Desmond Ridder last week.
We did a, and you thought you was getting over on me.
I did.
But I said, hey, I was going to let him pass to Jay. I was going to let one of you take him. I said, nah, I'm going to get that guy, Aiden O'Connell.
Much like Desmond Ridder jumped on the grenade to protect Bijan Robinson, I jumped on the Desmond Ridder grenade to protect you in our bad quarterback draft. Take a watch right here. This is last week where we did our brutal quarterback draft on Happy Hour. Lawrence, your team is?
So I got Zach Wilson, Bailey Zappe, and Aiden O'Connell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's going to be tough to beat, but.
It is. Did you not see Zach Wilson?
I actually quite like my team, and it's better than my real life team. Mullins, Flacco, and Minshew.
I like that team better.
Not too bad. All right. I got Will Levis, Mitch Trubisky, and Easton Stick. Right. Started out fine.
Yeah.
Didn't finish off too hot.
Yeah, I think I like Jay's team the best, actually.
Yep,
Tommy DeVito, Desmond Ridder, and Bryce Young.
You got screwed by draft position.
Draft position. Yeah, picking fourth in the...
You got a couple of dudes that'll run the ball, though.
Yeah.
Like, Tommy DeVito was really good with his legs.
The pride of New York.
Yeah.
I got Tommy Cutlets.
Here is our backup quarterback rosters. Lawrence, you got a negative point from Zach Wilson.
Damn.
Aiden O'Connell got you almost 26 points, though. For me, I was just kind of steady Eddie across the board. 15 from Levis, 15 from Trubisky, 18 from Stick.
For the Stick man,
you did phenomenal.
Mullins
had 19, Flacco with 20, Gardner Minshew with almost 21, and Matthew.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much. Tommy DeVito about 11, Ridder about 9, Bryce Young 7.6.
But you know what's great is that like it doesn't even matter. Like even if I'd taken Flacco instead of Ridder, like so it's a 10-point swing, I'm still fourth. Like, just draft position just killed me. But I correctly predicted that Jay had the best team, so let's hear it for me.
So not Jay who drafted the team.
And drinks free.
No, no, no.
It should have been Matthew that drinks free.
It should have been me, but yes.
Good scouting.
Jay Croucher drinks free here at the Happy Hour. Congratulations.
Good job, Jay.
No one is better at picking bad quarterbacks than Jay Croucher. Let the world know.
What a lineup. 27 Yankees. Mullins, right. Flacco, Minshew.
I'm very disappointed in that negative one from my man Zach. Like, y'all know that's my guy. Shirt with his face on it. I own that. And he got me negative 1 point, so I'll never wear that shirt again.
He might be on your team next year. Who knows?
Yeah, he'll be the starting quarterback. Yeah. He won't be on my team.
No.
That's for sure.
Sir. It's just, you know, and he'd be a Commander, except the Commanders are heading in the right direction. Like, under Snyder, we'd have paid a lot of money for Zach Wilson. Yep. That's what we'd have done.
With that, let's jump into the Roto-World player news. Of course, the injuries we are tracking throughout the week. C.J. Stroud still in concussion protocol. Geno Smith with the groin injury. Trevor Lawrence with the concussion as well. Tyreek Hill, I think, will be trending the right way. He's got the ankle injury, though. We'll see if he can play through it. Keenan Allen with the heel. Chris Olave with the ankle. He's expected to go now for Chris Olave. So on this list, it's looking like Geno's going in the right direction. Chris Olave's going in the right direction. We'll keep an eye on Nico Collins, Jaden Reed, and Michael Pittman. And then Zach Moss with the shoulder injury. He intends to play in Week 16. The team will see how he progresses throughout the week. So, Matthew, what stands out to you on this list? A lot of lack of clarity here, but a couple guys at least heading the right way.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, I think if Olave can go, and it's the short week. He's the Thursday night game against the Rams. But I think if Olave's active, you're starting him. We feel good about Tyreek Hill. Obviously, because he was out there warming up, and he was a game-time decision, ended up not playing last week, but you feel good about getting Tyreek back here. Some of the other ones that are a little concerning, right? I mean, the fact that with Trevor Lawrence in this concussion protocol, I mean, that was a shot that he took. The Jaguars signing E.J. Perry to the practice squad, you know, was a little eyebrow-raising, like the fact that they feel they need that kind of depth. That tells you at least there's a chance that he could miss as well. To me, the one that's the most, you know, and with Stroud, just brutal. Like, you know, the fact that the guy is still sensitive to light is, I'm like, that's awful. My daughter, one of my daughters had a concussion playing soccer, actually. And, like, she was, you know, whatever, she was 11 at the time. And, you know, but out for, like, a month. But, like, we had to keep her in all dark. She had to wear dark sunglasses when she'd walk around the house. Like it's a real, real thing. And, I mean, again, talking, you know, an 11-year-old girl versus a NFL quarterback. But still, my point is that, like unless you're T.J. Watt and just throw it on a visor and who cares, like, that's a scare. I don't mean to joke about C.J. Stroud. Like, this is a very scary thing.
Yeah, and it's something that you suspect may, I mean, for this week certainly doesn't look very good in terms of his chances of playing. And obviously, if he's still sensitive to the light, he shouldn't be playing. But I wonder if this is something that, that drags on even beyond this week, because this is, I mean, it's serious. It's bad. Like, Tua missed a month last year with a concussion. This guy is the face of the franchise. He's their quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. I don't think they want to risk his health for, you know, pursuing a wild card when, you know, they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, yeah. In situations like that with them type of concussions, when you still having those type of symptoms, you want to see, like, a string of days where there's nothing right. going on, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that he's not even close to being clear doesn't look like, you know, we'll see him this week.
Yeah. The other one that that sort of jumps out to me here, there's two. One is Zach Moss with the shoulder. Now, Adam Schefter reporting that Moss, quote, intends to play in week 16. Teams will, quote, the team is saying, quote, we'll see how he progresses through the week, but there's also a chance that Jonathan Taylor could be back. Then you've got, you know, you've got Trey Sermon in the mix. You've got Goodwin in the mix, right? Is it Tyson?
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday we had it, the first name a little off. I think right. it's Tyson.
Tyson.
It's Goodwin, though.
Right, Tyson Goodwin. That's what I thought. And then it was the graphic said Tyler. And
it's a messy backfield right now.
I swear it was Tyler.
Okay. Tyler?
I believe it's Tyler.
Is that what we said Tyson and then corrected it to Tyler?
I'm 98% sure.
I have a feeling
Tyler.
He's not going to be active this week. No offense to him, but it sounds like they're going
to
have a
backs to Mr.
Outfit.
Goodwin. The
Goodson.
Fact of the matter is yes. Goodson. Sorry, guys. It's, you know, listen, you need a scorecard for the Colts backfield. What I will say is here's just, it just feels like a mess. And it's a good matchup against Atlanta. It's not one that scares you. But just because there's just such a lack of clarity in this backfield that, again, it's the fantasy playoffs. You don't want to get cute. You need, you don't want to get Bijan'd, which I think should absolutely become a verb. You don't want to get, or Arthur Smith. But, you know, it's Bijan rolls off Smith. Smith-y. You don't want to be Smith.
Smithed.
So I feel like you're just avoiding the Colts backfield here. The other one, the last one that stands out to me is Jaden Reed. We talked about Dontayvion Wicks yesterday on the show, but just if Reed were to miss this game, along with the fact that we don't expect Christian Watson to play, Dontayvion Wicks suddenly becomes pretty interesting for the Packers in that game against Carolina, even though Carolina does have a top five pass defense over the last month.
Speaking of getting cute, what would you say to this? You got these guys, Keenan Allen, you got Nico Collins, who if they're both back this week, they're without quarterbacks who they've played with this whole year. We saw Noah Brown. He had a solid day, 8 for 82 and a touchdown. But, you know, when you add Collins back into that offense, Case Keenum's a vet. You know, he know what to do. I'm more so on Keenan Allen's side because the offense looked so bad in that first game with Easton Stick. Like, are we getting cute in just saying, nah, Keenan Allen, despite what you've done this whole year, you know?
I think so. If you were to bench an active Keenan Allen, I think that would be getting cute. I get it. They looked brutal on Thursday night. They've got Easton Stick at quarterback. But Josh Palmer had a good fantasy day under Easton Stick. It was all junk time, but whatever. They're almost 12-point underdogs in this game. They fired the head coach. I feel like they will play with a little bit more emphasis. You know, I think it's kind of a wake-up call. Hey, we're playing for our jobs here. Keenan Allen's a professional who has pride. If at this point in the season where it's lost – and Keenan Allen's, you know, over the age of 30. If Keenan Allen is going to get out there and play, it's because he wants to compete. And so I feel like target share and volume just sort of gets him there. If Keenan Allen's active, I'm starting him.
Yeah, right. I think you have to start Keenan Allen. With Nico Collins, who, I mean, he was warming up on the field before the Tennessee game. Seems like he's trending in the right direction. But I watched Case Keenum play, and I get that he was okay enough against the Titans, but I think he's pretty done. And to go up against the Cleveland defense, which is going from, you know, one of the worst secondaries in the NFL in Tennessee to one of the best pass defenses of the past 15 years in Cleveland, I don't feel good about Nico Collins, don't feel good about Noah Brown, don't feel good about either of the running backs, really. So I think ideally you're not starting Texans if you can get away with it.
And our last one, as I said, a thumbs up to Chris Olave, who is expected to make his return on Thursday Night Football against the Rams. Speaking of thumbs up, yesterday's show, while Matthew was at home on Zoom.
Yeah, what the hell was this?
He discovered.
I still don't know.
He discovered something and how to give a thumbs up. Take a look.
Sometimes the best offense is a good defense. If you're playing against somebody that lost Jamar Chase and they're looking through the waiver wire and, oh, my God, look at that Zoom. That's hilarious. I don't even know how I did that.
Terrifying.
But is it, that's new. Like, I don't even know, like, I don't even know if I can recreate that. Can I recreate that? Anyway, apparently not.
Can't wave your arms around there. Maybe something will happen.
Anyway.
Kool-Aid man just kicks the wall behind him.
Oh, what happens if I do thumbs down? I don't know.
That really broke your brain yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Old man versus technology right there. I don't know what...
They might have just liked the comment that you made, and every time you make somebody, a favorite, ding, you know,
Zoom was listening. They're like, "Oh, that's a good comment." Actually,
I think most disturbing is that when you're making a point, you put your hands up like this. What kind of person does that?
Exactly.
You trying to figure out what a
smooth dancer. Way to get out on the dance floor. What do you see me?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, very troubling.
Very, very, yeah. It was, the whole thing was weird.
It's good to have you back here. I'll
thank you.
It
was just.
I don't like Zoom, Matthew. It's scary. It does strange things.
It usually takes me about an hour to an hour 15 to get to the studio. And I'd been driving for an hour and a half. And I use Waze every day. And yesterday there was just some crazy accident here in Connecticut. And they were like, oh, it's another hour and a half. Like, I'd left my house at 10 a.m. to get here at about 11, hour before the show, maybe 11:15, worst case scenario. And, you know, at 11:30, they were like, yeah, you're still an hour and a half away. I'm like, I called, you know, backup producer Pete. I'm like, I think my only shot at making this show is that I turn around and haul ass back home, you know, and we do it from home. And Pete was like, yeah. And he's just like, he talked to Trisha, our great director. And Trisha was like, yeah, I think I can make it work. And so we hauled butt home and we made it work.
The best part was on the call, the morning production call, where the way you described it was, look, Waze says I'm going to get there at 11:43 a.m., but... this could get interesting, guys.
Yeah.
I don't have any gas.
Well, just wait, you said that you didn't have no gas?
No, exactly. So then Pete's like, well, why don't you get gas? And I'm like, I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic, Pete. Why don't you just, like, I'm like, guys, I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic. There's some sort of crazy accident, and I'm running out of gas, like the light's on, and Pete's will get gas. And I'm like, I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Let me just...
You don't got a gas can in your truck?
That's what he said to him.
Like, what am I supposed to do, dude? I'm trying to get to a gas station. That's the whole point. And then I finally am able to, like, find a gas station and pull off and get to a gas station. And I fill my gas tank. But then, like, there's... To get back on 95, which is the... If anyone lives in Connecticut, they know, like...
It's the worst road in America.
The hell that is 95.
Fix it.
And, like, the on-ramps to the next two were closed. Like, so I'm driving all these back streets trying to get on to the, you know, the on-ramp.
Man, we're
struggling. And I can't... It was a struggle. I was driving the struggle bus yesterday, and... Finally, I'm just like, F this, and I called back.
Yeah, I know you was in your car, windows up, cursing like, what the? I know you was in there like that.
Can't imagine me very happy on those back streets.
Yeah.
Okay. A thumbs down situation.
It was a thumbs down situation.
Yes.
Anyway, and then I went home, and we did the Zoom, and we got it all figured out. And so, you know, whatever.
Just, and here we are.
But these are the struggles, America, that I go through to bring you fake football advice every single day. That's what I do. Again, not all heroes wear capes. Some people are saying, not me, I would never say this, but some people are saying, I'm the most heroic man in America.
Yes.
Some people are saying, yes, the effort I put through yesterday.
For the show.
For the show, for the people, you know, for the fantasy football gods, for all the people out there that are in the playoffs, they need their advice, they needed their waivers help. And so, again, some people are saying...
Not the hero America wants, certainly not, but perhaps the hero America needs.
That's
exactly right.
So Zoom gave you the thumbs up yesterday. You were trying to do the thumbs down. I've heard our team has put something together for you to help you out here, Matthew.
Okay, let's watch this. Oh, yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, the famous... this is the famous meme, the guy at the Yankees game. He's not happy. Oh, okay.
Ryan Reynolds.
Just Friends.
Yeah.
Hilarious movie. Oh, Gladiator.
That's the one right there.
Joaquin.
Because that one gives you hope, then. Nope.
Gladiator, yeah. I am, by the way, I have a controversial movie take.
Like
Gladiator drives me crazy. I don't like Gladiator.
Don't like Gladiator.
I know everyone loves it, and it won the best picture and everything like that. And there's Adam Sandler to ride.
But you like Adam Sandler, though.
Who doesn't like Adam
Sandler? We like Adam Sandler.
Of course. Yeah, right. Who doesn't like Adam Sandler? Right. Everyone likes Adam Sandler.
I like Adam Sandler.
Yeah, of course.
Probably one of the greatest dudes in world history.
Wow, it's a very sweeping claim. Nelson Mandela. How does Nelson Mandela stack up against Adam Sandler?
It's close. He up there with all them. Adam Sandler.
Yeah, one fought to end apartheid, and you know,
and one made Big Daddy,
and one made fart noises on Saturday Night Live.
One did Little Nicky.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, enough.
We all like Adam Sandler here. I'm just saying, like, I don't think I will say this. If Adam Sandler here were here himself, he'd be like, "Don't put me in the same breath as he." Would not say.
That's what makes a great.
I suppose
Tom Brady don't want you calling him the GOAT. But we all know he the GOAT.
Right. No, I get that. I get that. 100%.
Adam Sandler, the GOAT.
I have the same attitude.
Adam Sandler clearly eating good today here on the Happy Hour. We'll tell you else who's eating good as we got three candidates here. The top three wide receivers from last week. Who's eating good served by Applebee's? Look at the Week 15 fantasy leaders at wide receiver. Number one was Jordan Addison. Number two was Jalen Waddle. Number three was Scary Terry McLaurin. Lawrence, let's start with Jordan Addison. He comes in as wide receiver 26 for Barry this week. How do you like Addison in a matchup against a Lions defense that a lot of teams have been able to feast on, especially the secondary?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Now, this is Jordan Addison's best game in about 6-7 weeks, but the thing, what I liked was that he did this in the presence of Justin Jefferson. You wanted to see both of them, you know, able to have a good game together, and it, you know, it came with Nick Mullins. You know, Detroit has allowed a receiver to gain 95 yards or score a touchdown in five of their last six games. So, of course, some of that will go to Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson. But with the game total between the Vikings and Lions being 47 and the Vikings being 3-point dogs, you expect them to, you know, try to make their due in the passing game with those receivers.
Matthew, I don't think anybody's expecting a 29-point week again, but can Addison at least be a wide receiver two in this matchup?
I'm as a wide receiver three. He comes in at wide receiver 26 for me. I think there's a lot of positive sides, right? I mean, so this is a guy that, by hook or by crook, Jay Croucher.
There it is, Jay.
Has found his way into the end zone. He's got 9 touchdowns on the year. That's top 5 among all wide receivers as well. And last week with Nick Mullins, it was a 19% target share, which is the highest he's had in a game this season, where Justin Jefferson has been active. I don't think they were all well-advised throws. In fact, a lot of the throws that Nick Mullins made to Jordan Addison, you're like, no, don't do that.
Both of the touchdown passes shouldn't have been thrown.
Awful throws. But, okay, bad for the NFL, but good for fantasy-wise. Yeah. If he's going to force the ball to Jordan Addison, we certainly like that. And the matchup is favorable as well. Vikings are underdogs in this game, and they're going to have to be throwing against Detroit. Over the last month, the Lions bottom 10 in the NFL in terms of most fantasy points allowed to, or I guess top 10, depending on how you look at it. But basically, they're among the 10 teams that have given the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. They've also allowed the second most yards on deep passes. Nick Mullins, a little bit of a gunslinger mentality to him. He's not scared to throw it up even when he shouldn't. Yeah. Honestly. I don't think he's the best quarterback on the Vikings roster right now, but I'm not the one making the decisions. And I do think this benefits Addison, who, again, is a risky but viable wide receiver three for me.
Yeah, I think Mullins is bad, possibly very bad, but he's bad in a way that's conducive to fantasy. He's not the type of quarterback who goes, 2 incompletions, 3 and out, and then, you know, he marches you down the field for 45 yards by making, a high degree of difficulty throws or high-risk throws, and then he throws an inexplicable pick. So I think that he will be able to put up yards similar to the Bengals game. And yes, the Bengals have a bad pass defense, but so do Detroit. So they should be able to put up numbers in this game, even if he ultimately submarines the team with his interceptions.
I will just say this. I am in our show league, I will be starting Jordan Addison against Jay Croucher. As the lineups have come through, Jay Croucher and myself face off in the semifinals of our League of Assholes.
Not since De Niro and Pacino saw each other in the diner and Heat such showdown.
Yes.
And I will put you down, Matthew Berry, as Al Pacino said he would.
I am secretly nervous. I'm dead.
I could tell a little bit. Because he's the underdog.
He's the underdog. This is a team of destiny.
Yeah,
it's an awful collection of players that continues to win despite all indications that it shouldn't.
I'm Shane Steichen. Spamming RPOs. No one knows what's going on.
Who's QB2 for you this week?
Derek Carr. Yeah, not great. I'm choosing between Derek Carr and Easton Stick.
The Stick man.
Really tough decision. Yeah. Then I'm going to go Carr.
All right.
Don't feel good.
You have a good quarterback for one.
No, I don't. Nick Mullins. I had Justin Herbert. He's dead. I got Mullins, Carr, and Stick.
If I lose to this. I'm starting Joe Flacco against you because I don't want Howell against the Jets.
You're getting at least 45 passes.
You should have to sit Jalen Hurts. It's not a fair matchup.
No, I'm going to start. Jalen Hurts. But, I mean, who knows? Jalen Hurts ain't been – I mean, he's been good fantasy-wise, but he hasn't.
I'm just going to go all chaos, like all the random guys who can absolutely go off. Like, there'll be no Elijah Moore. Like, I'm going Josh Palmer, going weird dudes.
This is why I'm scared.
He can roll me.
You want some Rasheed Shaheed?
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of
Shaheed is going to have, like, 3 catches for 98 yards and 2 touchdowns and –
in my battle for fifth place. He's on my roster.
Yeah. I'd be very upset. When I lose to Jay, it's going to be it's going to be chaos.
It'll be an interesting show.
Be very upsetting.
Stephon Diggs is finally going to have his first good game in 3 months. He's my only good player. Diggs.
Oh, yeah. That's what's going to happen. He's going to explode for like 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, so he should.
Nah, the Chargers, he actually might.
Yeah.
Year two.
Yeah, it's coming.
Our next player here, Jalen Waddle. Jay comes in as wide receiver 2 last week. He's a top 15 play for Barry this week. Now the catch, of course, is no Tyreek Hill in last week's game. We expect Tyreek Hill to try to push to play in this one. How does that change things for Waddle, who looked phenomenal last week?
I think the main thing is he just looked fully healthy. He looked explosive. He looked like the same guy that he was at the end of his rookie season, all throughout last year. And that was the concern because he's been banged up. He's been really disappointing overall this season, but the fact that he was able to do this against the Jets defense, or able to key in on him with no Tyreek, and I understand that they just basically, you're just never getting lined up against Sauce Gardner, we'll go up against DJ Reed, who was ill, and all of that, but still, no, I think he's an awesome option against Dallas, even with Tyreek back, because this Dallas team can be exploited defensively. I don't trust Stephon Gilmore and Deron Bland against the speed of Hill and Waddle.
To your point, over the last 4 weeks, the Cowboys have allowed the second most yards after the catch, which is always such a big part of the McDaniel offense, getting guys in space and letting them take advantage of that yards after the catch. I like the clip that's going around social media, if you've seen McDaniel mic'd up, basically saying, like, I feel a one-play drive coming up, And that's the very next play is the long touchdown to Waddle against your Jets last week.
Disgusting. That was definitely edited to make him look amazing.
I thought you were going to say about the speech that he gave in Hard Knocks, which is going around about how he gives a very expletive-laden speech to his team after the Titans win, criticizing himself for his own play calls against the Titans. It's very good, very good cinema. He's a national treasure, Mike McDaniel.
He is. It must be protected at all costs.
That's how it should go. And just this thing, too, in the three previous games before this one, without Tyreek Hill, he was averaging 81 yards and 6 catches in those previous games. So it's like, you'll take that, but now that you know he can do this, like, you feel good about it. Not counting the Bills, they didn't have to pass against the Cowboys, but A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith both had solid days. D.K. Metcalf, JSN, good days. Curtis Samuel, Terry McLaurin, like, there's room for multiple receivers to get going against this Dallas defense, which you said. It's like they still got game, but it's more name than game with that Dallas defense.
Yep.
Matthew, our last one, Terry McLaurin, the week we've been waiting for last week. A lot of it came with Jacoby Brissett, though, and they have the Jets on Christmas Eve. Terry McLaurin comes in as wide receiver 3. Where does he rank for you after that?
He's wide receiver 33 for me, and I think ideally if I could, I would not play with him. Again, he was out of the bye. The week before that, he'd had 0 yards on 0 targets. And to your point, 70% of his fantasy points. Now, you saw it at the top of the segment. He was a top 3 fantasy wide receiver this past week. But 70% of his production came from Jacoby Brissett in crazy comeback mode as well. He had a 33% target share with Brissett. He's had only one game with a 30% target share on the season, to the point. In the past 5 games with Sam Howell, and Howell, of course, is going to start against the Jets, he's averaging under 7 fantasy points per game. Over the last month, the Jets allow the 3rd fewest fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Sam Howell is going to be under pressure quite a bit. He's going to see a lot of Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. Terry McLaurin is generally matchup-proof. But given the offense, the way Howell's kind of moved it around, the other fact is I don't know that under Trevor Siemian, which is who we expect to start for the Jets this week, that the Jets moved the ball in a significant way. I think this is a very low-scoring game. So it's not like last week where they just had to chuck it, and where we've seen some scenarios where the Commanders have been down big and Howell's just gone pass half and he's throwing 40, 45, 50 times a game. I don't think that's going to be the game script against the Jets, where I think it's just going to be a lot of punting, a lot of running, kind of an ugly back-and-forth game. So in an ideal world, you're not using Terry McLaurin this week, at least for me.
In an ideal world, but I am using Terry McLaurin against you because I don't have any other good players and I have no options. So Terry will.
So he will go off. So there you go. He's going to go off.
That's right. The thing that does worry me, you mentioned the game script, Matthew. In their last 2 games now, he hasn't thrown the ball more than 26, 27 times, and that's how they've been able to get this volume, right? Even in the blowout loss to the Dolphins, like, he threw 23 passes. Like, he came in 2 weeks ago, Sam Howell was averaging 40 passes a game. He's thrown 49 in the past 2. So it's like, if you're not getting that volume, you can't really trust any of these receivers, not even Curtis Samuel, who seems to be like the wide receiver 1 now. So I don't know. It's scary for Lil Terry.
The countdown is on for a very special edition of Fantasy Football Pregame.
Let go.
Barry, Jay, and Lawrence will be live this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern leading into Football Night in America. The showtime might be different, but the hashtag isn't. You can still tweet us using FFPregame. We're taking our first break. When we're back, are you trusting Bijan Robinson, Austin Ekeler, and Zay Flowers enough to start them in the playoffs this week? We'll debate those players and more next on Keep It Open or Close It Out. Find another way to celebrate the holiday season by being a part of Premier League festive fixtures. Beginning on Thursday, December 21st, we'll have 29 matches over 13 days on NBC, USA, and Peacock. So check out all the thrilling moments from creative set pieces to scorching shots and amazing saves. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
What's your thoughts about the final three games now and not relenting into despair?
No, I don't see that in this team. I know that's not this team. Me personally, that's not a, you know, I'm not, offensively, we won't allow it.
Keep it open or close it out, an odd sequence with Kyler Murray.
How often do you relent into despair, Connor?
Whenever I go home, right after the show every day. No.
Super, super weird. Same, but when I sit at the desk.
Right.
So it's basically pretty much when I wake up, I relent into despair, and it doesn't go away until I fall asleep. Basically, that's every waking moment.
Yeah.
I like how robotic, though, Kyler's just like.
Yeah.
Just pushed right through.
Yeah. It's a ridiculous question.
Yeah. It's just, all right, let's just get through this.
Unbelievable.
Kyler Murray headlines are Keep It Open or Close It Out, trying to.
By the way, that's a good fantasy team
avoid
name.
The despair.
It relent into despair.
Yeah.
Maybe should have been my team name.
Yeah, exactly.
For our show league.
You still have time.
Stickman.
Consolation
right.
Racket.
Playing hard.
Yeah. The Stickman will. I will be relenting into despair.
Yes.
If I don't beat Jay, and I'm seriously nervous.
It's really bothering
Jay,
you, I can tell.
I'm totally.
You're a minus 250 favorite.
I'm 1,000%.
Yeah, I have nothing to lose.
He has nothing to lose.
Give a pep talk to your team.
You're playing with house money. You shouldn't even be here.
No.
Like, you shouldn't even have made the playoffs. And now
absolutely not. I've got the ninth best team in a 12-team league.
Exactly.
Now you're 2 wins semis away, baby, from the ship.
It's nice that you understand that. Yeah. And you understand that I should be in your spot right now.
No, your team was. He said 9 out of 12 teams. Yeah, no, he said, which means there are three teams worse than his, and yours is one of them.
Damn.
Yeah.
Relent in despair.
Go carry on.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, right. You had Anthony. You had bad injury luck. You had, like, just every big name.
Yeah,
no,
I know. I'm
yours.
Just trying to include myself in this playoff talk. You know, it's, you know, I feel
you can
like
root
that.
For me. How about that?
Kyler Murray. Matthew, the question simply is, can you start Kyler Murray in the playoffs this week? He's got the Bears. The Bears defense has played extremely well. And right now, it looks like, as we show the graphic here, you have him right on the fringe, quarterback 13. But not everybody might have one of those top 12 quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I think fringy is right. You know, Kyler's had back-to-back games himself with under 14 fantasy points. And over the last month, only one team in the NFL has allowed fewer fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks than the Chicago Bears. They're actually tied for the most takeaways in the NFL over that stretch. They've allowed one or fewer touchdown passes in three of the past five. Kyler doesn't seem to be running the way he was earlier when he came back. And so this is a concern when you think about how strong that defensive line is and how well this defense has played since they got Montez Sweat. Like, they can really get after the quarterback, and assuming they stay disciplined. Like, I don't know that there's going to be a lot of room for Kyler Murray to run. Having said that, like, you just may not have an option. Some of the other guys out there that, I mean, you know, again, you're starting Easton Stick. I mean, like, I'm in a Dynasty League playoff. You guys tell me, but, like, I'm in a real struggle here. It's a super flex Dynasty League. I have four quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Jared Goff. Trevor Lawrence and Baker Mayfield are against each other. That's assuming Trevor Lawrence clears concussion protocol, which he's in. That decision may be made for me. But then you've got Baker against the Jags, Kyler against the Bears, and Jared Goff at Minnesota.
Yeah, I will say about.
So they're all sort of right there. They're all kind of fringy.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's a clear cut answer.
I'd play
there.
Goff.
Yeah,
Goff indoors.
Goff indoors. Minnesota would be first for me.
Same.
But meanwhile, you see my rankings there. I have Goff a little bit lower just in terms of the numbers. The projections spit out Kyler slightly higher.
You closing that out?
No. I'm probably still keeping it open on Kyler Murray. Yeah. I mean, like, again, it's just kind of like it's on the borderline. You know, I guess you closing it a little bit because it's outside my top 12, but, like,
With the Bears' defense as well, I know it's much improved, particularly since they got Sweat. They've also played some bad quarterbacks lately. They played Joe Flacco, they played Bryce Young, Josh Dobbs, Derek Carr, and the Saints. Like they haven't been. It's not like they're playing Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen every week. So I think they are a little bit inflated.
This is true, but but this game's at home in Chicago, where you know it'll be cold. Right, I mean, and Jared Goff, they shut down Jared Goff, who then the next week.
Yeah, but Goff outdoors is kind of like.
Well, exactly.
But Joe Flacco ended up being quarterback 9. He threw those 3 picks, but 374 and the 2 touchdowns. Kyler did run for 49 last week, so that's kind of why. And he's my quarterback 13 this week as well, and it's because of that upside. The game too, it's 44 and a half, so. It might be some type of points in this game, especially you get Justin Fields on one side running the ball, Kyler Murray on the other side. The Cardinals did go in to Pittsburgh a couple weeks back, beat them Steelers. But again, they had Mitch Trubisky, but still, I feel the same way. It's like you keeping it open like this, open like that, because he quarterback 13. But, you know, it's still Kyler Murray.
It's like this. It's at the bar. It's closing time. You've had enough. Nothing's happening tonight. You're looking around. You're like, you know, whatever. And like, do I go home or do I have one more? I probably should go home. I'll keep it open, but
right,
I shouldn't.
You don't do
and
that.
Yeah, well, I'll have one more. And then you end up regretting it.
You hope something happens.
Yeah, you hope something happens. And then it almost never does. Yeah.
Something good can happen too, though.
Yeah, you never know.
Something good can happen.
1% chance.
1% chance. So you tell me there's a chance.
Yeah.
No. Every once in a while. Jay Croucher comes in. It's
take up lines.
It's Buffalo. It's cold.
Yeah.
He needs a place to stay. Yeah. Things happen every once in a while.
Magical night.
Yes. One magical night.
Jay, how about Bijan Robinson here? Season low on touches with 8 and yards with 14 last week in the fantasy playoffs. But if you have Bijan Robinson, it seems kind of hard to sit him. Where do you stand on this one?
I think you probably have to keep it open, but not with any confidence. I understand the Colts recently have not been great against opposing running backs, but I don't really care about their past 6-7 weeks overall, because all I care about is when Grover Stewart is in the lineup, because he is their entire run defense. And when he plays, they have an above average run defense. And when he doesn't, they have basically the worst run defense in the NFL. Like, he is their entire unit there. And he is playing now, and he's had a couple weeks under his belt since he had the 6-week suspension. So I think that spells bad news for Bijan in this matchup. But at the same time, you know, you drafted him in the first 2 rounds, you probably have to start him.
I think you have to. I'm going to keep it open as well. I'm at running back 21, so just kind of, you know, borderline right there. I mean, if you are playing this week with Bijan Robinson, congratulations. You survived like one of the worst fantasy failures of all time. Historic proportions. Negative fantasy points from a guy that was drafted in the first round of every single fantasy draft, of a guy that had been, you know, this kind of top 5 guy for a month prior, and then just insane Arthur Smith usage. But to your point about the Colts, Jay, over the last month, the Colts have allowed the 3rd most fantasy points to opposing running backs. They've allowed at least 100 rushing yards to a running back in 3 of the past 4. And from weeks 12 through 14, Bijan Robinson was the 8th best running back in fantasy. So I just sort of feel like if you're telling me a running back's going to get 100 yards against the Colts, I feel like it's likely Bijan Robinson. Clearly the change of, for all the Arthur Smith bashing that I can do, will do, and will do in the future, you know, listen, it's Christmas, right? So, I mean, ghost of Christmas past, ghost of Christmas present, ghost of Christmas future. I want to redo that, but every single ghost is just me yelling at Arthur Smith.
Yeah.
Arthur Smith when he's a coordinator of the Titans. Arthur Smith now as head coach of the Falcons. And in the future, Arthur Smith, like, offense coordinator from
the
from high school.
Yeah.
Stop it with the Commanders. No, no, from high school.
That's he's going to play. Like, go there.
Rivera or out Smith.
I love right? it.
I would no, love it. Exactly.
He's going to be a coordinator somewhere.
Also, to
be
Arthur
he's going to be a coordinator like the Birmingham Stallions.
Arthur Smith don't care about Christmas either. If he ain't giving Bijan Robinson the ball, you think he care about Christmas?
Oh, no, absolutely
he
not.
Don't care about no Christmas?
Stocking full of coal for Arthur Smith. What I will tell you, though, is that clearly Arthur Smith is sitting there looking at Christmas past and Christmas future and saying, like, you know what? I went from Desmond Ridder to Taylor Heineke. It didn't work last week. I went on the road to Carolina, and I lost a game that I should have won by, like, you know, a touchdown, and I lost it. So I do think he changes up what he did last week, which starts with a quarterback and also starts with, oh, yeah, that's right. I've got this guy on my team that's insanely talented. He's going to get the rock. So I don't feel good about it because it's still Arthur Smith, and he defies all logic. Yeah. And, you know, he should have gotten him last week, and, who the hell knows? And he'd probably sit here and be like, yeah, well, Cordarrelle Patterson scored the touchdown. That wasn't why we lost.
And that play right there, got no problem with that particular play.
No, of course not. It's scored the touchdown.
Like, right, but it's
and
like.
And, yes, and Bijan had a bad fumble. Okay, but. Whatever, like.
But there was a whole game before
it's a big
that.
Picture.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so I don't know. Can't trust him. We leave it like I got him at running back 23. I'm gonna leave it open though because I have him at running back 23 and not 43.
I just don't know that you're gonna have it in week 16. I don't know that you're gonna have an option on your team that has the upside and potential volume of Bijan Robinson that you feel better than Bijan Robinson. If you do, God bless. But so, I'm nervously keeping it open.
You spoke about people making it through with Bijan. Yeah. I'm one of those people. You know who I benched? Raheem Mostert. You know who I'm not benching this week for Bijan?
Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert. Thank you, Kyren Williams, for, he carried my running back group there. So there you go.
Our next one here, Austin Eckler. Kind of an interesting comment from Eckler on the end of the season. He said, I know I'm the same player, but that doesn't matter when it comes to the contracts, when it comes to the media, when it comes to betting. It's making sure I prove it to you guys. Lawrence, single-digit fantasy points in 4 of his past 5 games. For a guy that's a fantasy legend in Austin Eckler, can you keep this one open?
I'm actually going to close this one out. No Justin Herbert. We saw Easton Stick in his first start. You would have liked to see something besides garbage time against the Raiders. I don't know how that I kind of got an inkling how that offense is going to fare against the Buffalo Bills. Speaking of, you spoke on 4 of his last 5 games. I just mentioned Kyren Williams. He just ran for 152 yards in week 15. Austin Eckler has ran for 174 yards his last 5 games. And he's getting 3.5 catches in that span. So it's not like he just killing it in the receiving game either. So that coupled with the fact that Isaiah Spiller getting carries, Josh Kelly's getting carries. I'm afraid of that start this week, especially in this matchup. It might be different if it was a different team, but the Buffalo Bills is knocking out everybody in their way right now.
Yeah, I will say with Eckler, at least, past 2 games in particular, he's looked better physically. He's looked more explosive. He was able to come into the game late, break off a little 10-yard run, which he was very excited about in the fourth quarter. I think he is very aware, clearly, with his comments, of just his statistical production, particularly this time of year. And I think that he wants to perform clearly. It's just a matter of whether they keep the game close enough that it doesn't become the Isaiah Spiller show.
Well, look, he's a fantasy football player himself. He's a friend of the show, by the way. He's an investor in fantasy life. It's one of the reasons why we wanted him on the cap table, candidly, is just because of his awareness of fantasy football and betting and everything else and statistics. And the fact of the matter is that I was encouraged by the fact that he still was getting some touches in their game last week. They're down like 50 points.
Yeah, he's in the fourth quarter.
He was playing in the fourth quarter. Like, that game was over by the first quarter, but he was still out there. And so, again, the Bills over the last month are a bottom 12 run defense. I do think Eckler gets enough volume. I'm keeping it open on him. Again, the same way with Bijan. Like, I don't feel great about it, but the potential volume and upside, I don't know that you have better options than him. He's more of a flex than a RB1 or 2, which is crazy to think about given – what a legend he is. But I do think he'll have a little bit more success. He wants to finish strong, and it's not a matchup that scares you.
Our next running back, Matthew, Breece Hall against your Commander. Season low 18 yards on just 7 touches last week, which was a disaster class of a game for the Jets offense against the Dolphins. But the reality is on Christmas Eve, Breece Hall has his maybe best matchup of the year.
Everyone's best matchup is against my Commanders. They're brutal. I'm keeping it open on Breece Hall. I'm as a top 10 play this week. Over the last 4 weeks, only one team in the NFL gives up more fantasy points per game to opposing running backs than my beloved Washington Commanders. They've given up 100 yards from scrimmage to a running back in 6 straight games. 6 straight games, a running back has gotten at least 100 yards from scrimmage against the Commanders. You assume Breece Hall will be number 7. When he sees at least 15 touches this year, he's averaging over 18 fantasy points per game. They don't want Trevor Siemian throwing it, and they're not going to need to against the Commanders, so... Yeah, give me some Breece Hall as a top 10 play this week.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this open. They'll throw it, but it'll be in the short game to Breece Hall. The Commanders have allowed 7 touchdowns to running backs in their last 4 games. So, yeah, we're keeping it open. There's not much to add here. It's the Commanders.
Our last running back, Jay, Motor Singletary. Last week was his first game with more than 13 touches since week 11. He's got the Browns, which can be a tough matchup in general, but if he gets that kind of volume, can you keep this one open?
I think so, reluctantly, but just with the volume, with the fact that he clearly has taken over this backfield from Damian Pierce, with the fact also that they're not going to want to have Case Keenum drop back and throw 40 times in this game, and also the Cleveland Browns, their run defense is very solid. It's not the same unit, though, as their pass defense. So I think that they will be running the ball as much as possible, and Singletary's the beneficiary.
Yeah, and prior to Week 15, the Browns had allowed a touchdown to a running back in five straight games. And so Singletary, who's averaging 76% of the Texans' rushes over the last 2 weeks, I think volume gets him there. He comes in at running back 25 for me, but I'm keeping it open. I think he is a better-than-average flex based on volume.
Lawrence, our first wide receiver, Zay Flowers, he's got the Niners in a tough matchup, and he's coming off a week where he had a season low 2 targets. Where does he rank for you?
This week I got him at wide receiver 29. Still going to keep it open, though. San Francisco, we know they're a great overall defense in terms of, like, real football. On the fantasy front, though, they're only the 17th best at allowing fantasy points to receivers. We saw DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett have solid days against them recently. We saw the same with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Both of those guys were able to get over 95 yards. And you just, versus this San Francisco defense, you're not just going to run the ball down their throat. You're going to have to throw that ball against that defense. So I'll leave it open for Zay. He's been pretty consistent outside of his last game. So, and he's their guy. You know, Odell's coming up. He's been coming up. But Zay Flowers, he's still a guy. So I'm going to keep it open.
Yeah, a couple quick things on Zay. One, the internet was ablaze yesterday with rumors that Zay Flowers was in a walking boot with an MRI. Now, that turned out not to be real, but it was reported more reputably that he does have foot soreness. So there is something there, and he only had the 2 targets last week, which is really weird considering. Yeah. So I would suspect there is an actual injury, even if it's not going to keep him out of this week. So that would just be one thing to note, to be a little bit wary of with Zay Flowers.
It's a must-win game for both of these teams, like the potential Super Bowl preview. I have him at wide receiver 27, so I'm keeping it open, but again, somewhat a little bit reluctantly. But I'm going to go there just because I think the Ravens will have to throw. They're 5-point underdogs on the road at San Francisco, and it's worth noting that in every game this year except for 2, opponents have thrown at least 31 pass attempts against the Niners. Like, you can throw against San Francisco. I think that's what Lamar is going to have to do. Lamar, not only does they want to win this game, obviously, but more importantly, this game is a referendum on the MVP race. We've talked about this. Yeah. It has really come down to Purdy versus Jackson, and so the quarterback that wins this game is most likely your MVP at the end of the year. And I think Lamar, after the big contract, wants to prove, like, I'm the guy. And so he'll be throwing. I think he'll be wanting to show off. Not that Purdy won't be. But if Lamar Jackson is going to have a big game, he's likely going to need Zay Flowers to be heavily involved in that.
Our last one here, Jacoby Myers, Lawrence, against the Chiefs. We saw Jacoby Myers throw a touchdown last week. He's got 15-plus fantasy points in 2 of his past 3 games. This one been a fringe most of the season. Can you keep it open with the playoffs on the line?
I'm definitely closing that out with the playoffs on the line. He's touchdown dependent. How many times is he going to – we've seen him throw touchdowns quite a bit, but how do we expect that again? He's got less than 50 receiving yards and 6 in his last 7 games, although that one game was against the Chiefs. But, he's not inside my top 40 this week.
7 games in which Aiden O'Connell has started a quarterback so far this year, and – Jacoby Myers has been under 9 points in 4 of them. As a whole, he averages just 10.7 fantasy points per game in all the games that Aiden O'Connell has started. AOC is going to start again this week as well. So Myers, who's averaging under 40 yards a game, to me, I'm closing it out. He's my wide receiver 41 against a Chiefs defense that allows the 6th fewest fantasy points per game to wide receivers this year.
To recap, Matthews, keep it open, close it out, rankings. Kyler Murray at QB13 is a fringe, but we'll call it a close here. Bijan Robinson, RB21, open. Austin Eckler, RB20 against the Bills, open. Breece Hall against the Commanders, RB10, open. Motor Singletary also stays open against the Browns, RB25. Zay Flowers, wide receiver 27 against the Niners, he's an open. Jacoby Myers is a certified close at wide receiver 41 against the Chiefs. We're taking our last break. When we're back, we want to win some money over the holiday weekend. We'll try to help you out by highlighting our favorite bets right now in Week 16 after this.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Berry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Jay, a little heartbroken you didn't join me on that one.
Yeah, what's that about?
It was so good yesterday.
Yeah, I'll get you next time.
Maybe next time. Happy holidays, everyone. Yeah. Last call. It's Wednesday, so it is our early line alert. Jay, we'll start with you. Which line are you looking at to start the week here?
Going with my Indianapolis Colts for the shoe, minus one. Sorry, plus one.
Great hashtag.
They're dogs of the Atlanta Falcons.
Keep pounding.
Now, going from Ritter to Heinicke, that's a change. It's not worth 3.5 points. Like, I think that Heinicke is better than Ritter. That's a massive swing. I don't think that the Colts should be underdogs in this game. I think they are the vastly superior coach team in this matchup. They need this for their playoff lives. Jonathan Taylor expected back. Defense playing much better with Grover Stewart back. My man Juju Brents on the outside. I think they take care of the Falcons in that dog.
And I'll just say very quickly, this is the dumbest thing, and there's probably no math behind this, but I've talked about this before, but like just a dumb betting rule that was taught when I was first getting into it was just sort of like one of these things is like when a team with a winning record is getting points from a team with a losing record after like the first 3 weeks of the season, you take it no matter what. Like no matter how ugly it looks on paper, you hold your nose and you take it. Usually works at about 2/3 of the time. Same thing. The Colts have a winning record. The Falcons have a losing record. And yet somehow the Falcons are favored in this game. I did this last week, and the Texans, who had a winning record, were getting points from a losing team, and the Titans. Give me the Colts. I'll just very quickly give me the under on 51 for the Cowboys and Dolphins. Here, Dallas on the road is a thing. Like, they're averaging just 21 points a game on the road compared with 40 points a game at home. Dolphins have actually been a top three rush, pass, and scoring defense over the last month. They played some suspect defense, but give me the under on 51.
Mr. Moneyline Jackson, what do you got for us?
I'm going to push the Bengals -2 against the Steelers to -3.5 at +121. They've been just playing better overall football. You got Mason Rudolph coming in for the Steelers. His best play is getting hit with that helmet, Connor.
I like the Seahawks -2.5 against the Titans. Seahawks are desperate. Titans are really, really beat up. Seahawks will get right. They'll keep that winning streak going.
Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For Jay Lawrence and Connor, I'm Matthew. Peace out.